Well, our President-elect Donald Trump is back in Manhattan. He was in New Jersey for a couple of days. I think over the weekend, he's back at Trump Tower again, interviewing more potential cabinet picks. As we've been discussing yesterday, he outlined his plans for his first 100 days in the White House in a video posted online yesterday. Did you see it? He said his agenda is based on the principle of putting America first. I want to play a couple of short clips from that video here, and we can go right ahead with that, Brent.
As part of this plan, I've asked my transition team to develop a list of executive actions we can take on day one to restore our laws and bring back our jobs. It's about time. On regulation, I will formulate a rule which says that for every one new regulation, two old regulations must be eliminated. So important.
Well, that's just a little bit of about a 2.5-minute video that was released yesterday. And here to discuss the Trump agenda is Gail Trotter, D.C.-based columnist. She writes for The Hill and Daily Caller. She's appeared all over the place. She's a political analyst and attorney. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you this evening.
All right. Well, you've got an insider's view being right there in the heart of it in D.C. How are folks receiving President-elect Trump's first 100-day plan, in your view?
Right. Well, across the country, the video has received earlier today over 1.5 million views. So it's really an effective way that he's getting his message out to all Americans. And there's a lot of discussion on the Hill about what his priorities are. And through this video, he really set out some of the things that are going to be on the top of his agenda and put it in an accessible way that people can understand that he's trying to follow through on his campaign promises. So there is, support on the Hill of the people who were behind his bid for the presidency. And I think that there's a lot of feeling that it's a good way that he's reaching out to all Americans and already using his platform to bring the American people along who elected him to this office on his very strong agenda. And with that kind of support of the American people and the support of a Republican Congress, he will be able to get some really meaningful change in Washington.
Well, you know, most presidents have used television or have used press conferences typically when they're gearing up for their, you know, their first administration to communicate to the public what the progress is and what they're thinking about. This is a little bit different. And, you know, Donald Trump has done a lot of things differently, we have to admit, during this campaign. There's a kind of a surprise at every corner, it seems. Well, what do you think about the method he's using here, using YouTube to tell us about what he's planning to do?
Right. It's a new generation, and the Democrats were widely credited for being able to harness the internet and technology in order to get Barack Obama elected in the first place in 2008, using data to get President Obama's message out as he was in office and get support for some of his policy initiatives. Now we're seeing that the Republicans under Donald Trump are doing the same thing. There's a really great article in Forbes magazine, the cover of it, about Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and how he was able to take a lot of his contacts in Silicon Valley and come up with a digital media strategy to help propel Donald Trump into the victorious position that he was on election night. And I think we're going to be able to see a lot of this strategy going forward as President-elect Trump continues to reach out to his supporters and generate a lot of discussion where sometimes after the presidential election is decided, people become less interested in politics. They go back to their normal lives. But I think we're going to see a different thing from this administration using YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, a lot of different platforms that Republicans have not been able to use as effectively in the past.
Talking with Gail Trotter, she's a D.C.-based columnist, political analyst, and attorney. Our phone number, if you want to call in and talk with Gail, 866-372-7234. That's 866-372-7234. Well, Gail, do you think this is the first of a number of YouTube videos? Do you have any sense for whether he's going to kind of keep laying things out this way?
I believe he will, and if he is wise, he will be able to do that effectively ahead of time before he puts any big policy proposals out there so that he can test the waters, see what the reaction is, see if he needs to change the direction of the approach a little bit. and he will be able to take some of the complicated issues that he campaigned on, like changing our tax code, changing the corporate tax rate, dealing with corporate tax inversions. He will be able to use the video platform to get the message out directly to the people and not put it through the filter of the mainstream media, which went full bore to try and make sure that he was not elected.
Well, you know, you talked about some of the data analytics that the Obama campaign used, and again, how that was marshaled by the Trump campaign as well. And, you know, data analytics have gotten much more sophisticated to the point now where you can actually sort of monitor Facebook and Twitter traffic and kind of get a sense of the pulse of what's going on out there. And I know probably that a lot of the policies that that Trump is going to put into effect, he didn't necessarily take the pulse and say, what is it you want? But, you know, these are heartfelt agenda items and policy items that he thinks are important to get America moving forward. But, you know, what's your sense as far as whether that that data analytics stuff is still in play?
Yes, certainly. And I think he has a dual-pronged approach because during the campaign, he went out and spoke and had these huge rallies of tens of thousands of people attending his talks, and he would say different things, and based on the reaction he got, he could understand where the sentiment of the American people lies. And I think that he'll be able to use that in the data analytics area as well. He has a huge job ahead of him putting in his team for the transition, you know, starting at the very top, at the cabinet members, the attorney general, then looking at their deputies, the people who will be assisting the very top people in his government. And I think it will be very effective for him when he goes out there with all these policy proposals to be able to get them directly to the people and not have to go through the prism of the editorial board of the New York Times, the editorial board of the Washington Post, or even on some of these trade issues, the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal.
That's right. Well, let's turn the corner just a little bit. I want to ask how you think he's handling the media. Over the weekend, or at least a couple of days ago, he invited some of the top management of ABC News, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox, and some of the anchors. And there are some interesting reports coming out of this so-called off-the-record event. What do you know about that?
That's right. There were many reports that he really took these top media executives who had been summoned to meet with him, who wanted the opportunity to go and talk to him and find out what kind of access they would have in his to his White House, to his top people. And he really took them to the Woodhouse. He told them that he was unhappy about the lies that they had continued to make and push forward against him during the election. Now, as you said, it was supposed to be an off-the-record meeting. So you do wonder who leaked these conversations. Are they accurate? It's hard to know, but that has always been a thing with White House's administrations going back. Even Howard Kurtz wrote a book about this. He was the media reporter for the Washington Post. He wrote an entire book, Spin Cycle, about the lack of the access of the press to the Clinton administration White House. And this is going to be interesting to see how Donald Trump plays the media, because you certainly want to have as much exposure for your ideas as possible. But the elite mainstream media has made no secret of the fact that they want to oppose Donald Trump at every turn.
Well, Gail, I have Kevin from Texas on the line, and he has a question about the first 100 days. Go ahead, Kevin.
More or less, some of my thoughts on what you're talking about, starting with President Trump using YouTube and so forth and Twitter to get his news out, is it's something, maybe it's a question too, is the mainstream media has kind of put themselves as the only interface that can be between public officials and the American people. And what I see the president doing more and more, and what I felt is often needed, is a lot more of a president getting out talking to the American people about day-to-day things directly. And I think what scares the mainstream media the most is if he can talk directly to the American people, that makes them a whole lot less relevant. He doesn't need them.
That's right.
And just sort of my thoughts were here is that she kind of thinks this is where the president's going. He says, I need to be a leader. Leaders talk directly to the people they lead. They discuss the issues at hand, and they try to make an argument for those, make an articulation directly to the people that they're leading. And that's something I thought is even back on like President Bush that I really think hasn't been done since President Reagan.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, Kevin, thanks for your call. Gail, what would your comment be about Kevin's thought there?
Right. I think Kevin is exactly right. And Trump would be very wise to take advantage of that. Think of the telephone game that kids play, the operator game that you say something to one person and then the person whispers it to the next person, and the person whispers it to the next person. And if Trump is able to do it through YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, put his exact message out there, it's easier for people to go to the source and find out what he truly said, what he truly thinks, instead of having it go through the operator type filter of the mainstream media. And I think he's right. Reagan was very good at doing that as well. He didn't have the same type of technology, but Reagan, of course, had been a former radio host. He knew how to communicate with people. He knew how to put his best message out there. And one would hope that Trump would be able to combine the best of this positive vision of America, the America first, America, you know, a new dawning, the shining city on the hill, with the advantages that technology gives him to avoid the filtration of the mainstream media.
I have Billy on from Alabama, also has a comment or a question about the first 100 days. Go ahead, Billy.
Thank you. I read a book called The Art of the Deal about Donald Trump, and he's got a wisdom about cutting things out that's unnecessary and replace them with the things that are the most effective. I just wanted to comment on the book, The Art of the Deal. It's a good understanding of how Trump was and how he still is today. He's very good at making wise decisions.
Well, thanks for that call as well. Gail, have you read that book, by the way?
Yes. And, Billy, I want to say one of the things specifically tied to this video he just released was a proposal that for any new regulation that the federal government puts forward, that two regulations will be eliminated. And what a wonderful thing, because D.C. is so tied up with red tape that it has been such a disadvantage to our economy. And Donald Trump, being a successful businessman, knows how to unleash the American economy. And like you're saying, that is a wise approach, even just rhetorically, to say, if we're going to keep gumming up the system for businesses in our country, we're going to make sure that we're undoing some of what has already been done. And that wisdom of knowing that you don't want to just pass laws and create regulations willy-nilly, you want to have the wisdom to discern the things that are necessary and that will improve the situation.
Gail, in the last couple of minutes of the broadcast, I'd like you to comment on a separate matter, and that is that Donald Trump says that he doesn't want to hurt the Clintons, doesn't plan to pursue prosecution of Hillary Clinton. As an attorney, what do you think he's really saying? You know, he's gotten a lot of flack from all over the place saying that. So what are your thoughts about that?
Right. Well, poor Donald Trump can't win on that issue, because when his supporters are out there crying out to lock her up, the press is criticizing him as being some kind of dictator who wants to jail his opponent. And when he says that she's a good person, and he's being, I would say, somewhat gracious in winning and not gloating about having won, then he's criticized as being too soft. And truly, the thing that's going to be the case going forward is Hillary Clinton should, of her own conscience, come clean and make reparations to the American people for these grave issues that she had of having this confidential information in an unsecure location, the secret server that put people at risk. And so I think that Donald Trump is giving her the space to be a person of character, and it remains to be seen if Hillary Clinton can rise to the occasion.
Okay, so maybe he says he doesn't want to prosecute her, but the FBI supposedly is still running an investigation in the background, isn't it, into the Clinton Foundation?
Yes, and that's on a separate track. So that is something that the FBI is going to have to continue to investigate. And if they have enough evidence that they want to refer it to the Department of Justice, then whomever is in charge of the Department of Justice, looking like it's probably going to be Jeff Sessions if he is confirmed in his nomination, then that's going to be a decision that's made over at the Department of Justice.
So in this last minute or so, how do you think the transition is going, just very briefly?
Yes, he is doing a good job of calling out different people. He made a switch from Chris Christie to Mike Pence to run the transition. Chris Christie apparently is still involved, but not to the same degree. And I think that shows that he's able to switch things as circumstances permit and is not wedded to making sure that loyalties are observed. He is handling it. He's proceeding apace. And there have been some good articles at the Daily Signal, which is produced by the Heritage Foundation, showing that his transition is on path, either the same as prior presidents or even in a more solid position than prior presidents.
That's right. Well, Gail, thanks very much. This has been Washington Watch. Thanks so much for listening. For more information.